This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
We have a lot to get to here this hour. Black and Abdallah with you on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can also watch us on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Check it out. Twitch cam tonight is the producer cam. Tyler
What's
Ogden
up?
In the studio.
East Coast Media Elite. Of course, he's telling me during the break how much he wants the Nuggets to win and go to the finals. I mean, of course, a Syracuse fan would want college basketball in the NBA finals.
Get out of here. Jeremy Grant, go Cuse.
Well, clearly did not hear our opening segment last night on the program where I said the only team that would make sense to win a title would be the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, I did.
All right, cool. Yeah. Airports. Speaking of, did you see what he was doing today with the backwards hat and Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I saw this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Abdallah, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I saw
what,
it.
What is with Cowherd and the backwards hat guy? Like, what kind of take is that?
I don't know. Listen,
unbelievable.
I mean, you know, I don't like the way he wears his hat.
You can't go to a Fortune 500 company and you can't wear hat backwards. Well, why would you go into a Fortune 500 company wearing a backwards hat or a hat at all, sir? They're not baseball players.
My brother works for a Fortune 500 company. He could go in with a hat.
Well, listen, East Coast Media Elite, we get it.
He's on the West Coast.
Us good folk here in the Midwest, we can't get away with that. All right, Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. We're going to talk Bulls in just a second. Billy Donovan met the media today as he was introduced by the Chicago Bulls as their new head coach. Abdallah, before we get to that, though, we do have college football news tonight. It seems as if the Pac-12 is going to play football. And have you seen this, that the Pac-12 is looking to play six games with a championship game? So maybe a seven-game schedule? I mean, how ridiculous is this?
Yeah, it's clearly a money grab. It's clearly a money grab. This is the Pac-12 trying to get in as many games as possible. It has nothing to do with the trying to get into a college football playoff, obviously, because I don't think seven games is enough, because it's going to be six games and then championship whatever day, Saturday, like the Big Ten is doing, where one will play one, two will play two, three will play three, and so on. So I don't think you can play seven games and be considered for a national championship bid when teams are playing 10 games, teams are playing 11 games. You know, the Big Ten is barely making it in at this point. But you know what? I have no problem with it. I have no problem with them trying to get their money because, you know, a lot of sports and a lot of staff members are going to suffer because of this. And if this brings money into the school, then good for them because it's less layoffs. It's more sports for the schools get saved that don't generate revenue. So if you're only going to play seven games, at least don't try to, you know, I'm glad the Pac-12 didn't come out and were like, we're playing seven games and we want to be considered for the college football playoff. They're like, no, we're coming out. We're going to play seven games. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We're going to try at least.
So the top story on ESPN.com right now, the Pac-12 will play a seven-game conference football season beginning November 6th. The league announced Thursday. The decision, voted on by Pac-12 CEOs, the group on Thursday, represented an official reversal after the conference announced in early August that it would postpone all sports until at least January 1, citing health concerns related to the coronavirus pandemic. In a release, the Pac-12 said men's and women's basketball can begin November 25th, while other winter sports can begin in line with their respected NCAA seasons. The Pac-12 is a move. This is a move that we heard, a similar move, announced about a week ago with the Big Ten, as the Big Ten is looking to start their college football season October 24th. The final note that I would add on this is, yes, it's obviously about money. And yes, you would like the testing protocols to be in place so this can officially go off and everyone can be safe. The one thing that I would say, though, is the Pac-12 has been following the lead of others, and thus they are now in a situation where a seven-game schedule will not put you in the conversation to be competing for a national title, which is really the point of all of this. So, like, if you're not going to be involved in the college football playoff because the decision on who those four teams will be is going to come, what, December the 20th? That's when they're going to decide that. So it's hard for me to believe that college football, beginning on November 6th for the Pac-12, will be able to be included into the Final Four. And thus, Abdallah, when we look at the Pac-12, is their end goal just trying to get a team to be the best team in the Pac-12 so then they can mark a date on the calendar and host a pseudo championship with a Pac-12 team and a Big Ten team hosted at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena and have their own little deal here to rival what the college football playoff is going to do? Because the Big Ten, even though they are going to get their games in, there is the likelihood that games could get pushed and those teams will not be included in the college football playoff. And we know the SEC is going to begin play this weekend. So is this a move by the Pac-12 to set up the Rose Bowl at some point in next year, early 2021, where they could have some pseudo championship of the West? And that's something to maybe keep our eyes on as we talk about it here on ESPN 1000. Bleck and Abdallah, the phone number is 312-332-3776. So the Bulls introduced Billy Donovan earlier today as their next head coach. And Adam, a couple of things that I take away from this from earlier today was that Arturis Karnišovas used the process as a lengthy process searching for a new head coach. He pointed out that Billy Donovan is a great communicator and he has the ability to inspire enthusiasm out of others. And I thought from Donovan on his end was that he had his own process and he was taken aback by how much research and how much work AK did into trying to figure out whether or not Donovan was the right fit. I think this is a home run all the way around. And the more I hear from these guys, the more I'm impressed by what the Bulls now have set up.
Here's what I love about it. I listened to the press conference with AK and with Billy Donovan, and I love that they're going to work in concert with each other. I love that they're – and you listen, you can take – the dude can coach in the NBA for as many years as he have, and he still references the organization as the program as opposed to the organization.
Oh, love that. That's a good coach's move.
That's good college coach program right there.
But good program.
And you got it from AK that he likes this young core. He said it multiple times that they didn't get enough out of this young core. And I think that that's the case. The only question mark I have is what they think of Zach LaVine. But this is a GM and a coach that are going to work in concert with each other in drafting players, in acquiring players. And that's something we haven't seen in a while. We've seen a front office with Gar and Paxson of going out on their own, doing their own thing, and then just saying, here you go, enjoy. We can always go back to how Tom Thibodeau wanted, you're just going to leave me hanging there, aren't you?
Well, I don't know what you're thinking.
Draymond Green. And I don't know why I couldn't think of Draymond Green just now. And it's not edibles, Twitch. When Tom Thibodeau wanted Draymond Green, and it's not yet. It's too early for that. I'm on the air. Come on, I'm a professional. Yes, Lil Kev. Yes, it probably is the amount because it does affect the memory, but not currently.
Okay, Draymond Green, get on with the point. We got you,
Draymond. What, you got a problem here? You didn't even let me take another shot at the Pac-12 before you moved on to Bulls. But that's neither here nor there. So when Tom Thibodeau wanted Draymond Green and the front office didn't draft him and how great he would have been for the Bulls. And, you know, it's selling draft picks and that's something that you shouldn't be doing when you're doing a rebuild. These are mistakes that Bulls front office has made before. And now hopefully with AK and with Billy Donovan, they're going to work together to get talent. And I love everything about this hire so far. Everything that they said in the press conference to me was great.
Let's go to Salim in Elgin. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Salim?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. So, what do you think of Donovan today?
I loved it. I loved the hiring. It was kind of pleasantly surprising. And something that, you know, makes you realize, like, man, we really are in a new era where this is the type of hire that the Bulls previously would never have done, especially when you see how much, you know, it costs to get him, a $6 million a year contract. That's not on brand for the Bulls. A couple other notes out for the presser today. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Billy Donovan pretty much mentioned that when he left OKC, the Bulls weren't on his radar. Like, in his mindset, he wasn't thinking about the Bulls. And he got a call from AK, and AK sold him on coming to the Bulls. He sold him on his vision. And granted, Billy Donovan isn't a player, but I feel like that bodes well in free agency going forward, that AK is able to sell him and the Bulls to people that are coveted free agents, in a sense. Because Billy Donovan could have gone anywhere he wanted to this offseason, but he, you know, talked to AK and he, you know, fell in love with the vision that AK sold him on and said, yeah, let's do this. I'll come to the Bulls.
Yeah, absolutely. Salim, appreciate the phone call. And I picked up on that too, is that it was AK being proactive and telling Billy Donovan why he would fit with what they want to do with this organization. I thought it was very impressive. And I agree. It, you know, Billy Donovan said after the night that they figured out he wasn't going to return to Oklahoma City, that he drove home the next day, 17 hours. And AK was like, well, let's meet tomorrow. Like, I want to meet with you right now. Let's get this done. He's like, can I have the weekend? So I thought that was very impressive. Abdallah, do you want to talk some gambling and look forward to week three in the NFL?
Always.
All right, coming up next, we will preview the gambling football weekend with the Fat Jack. He's coming up next.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Chris Black, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Adam, it's time to preview week three in the NFL, the Bears and the Falcons. I'm looking forward to this matchup.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's the Falcons have a ton of injuries. So are the Bears catching another break on their trip down south this weekend?
So each week at 7:15, we get a chance to talk with the Fat Jack. If you need help betting games against the spread, the NFL, college football, NBA, MLB, and the UFC, every result tracked and verified daily, weekly, monthly, and season packages are available. Go to FatJackSports.com, call 800-298-1383, or you can follow him on Twitter at the Fat Jack. And, Jack, if people were following you on your website last week, you gave out the Raiders over the Saints. Quite a play if we look back to last week's action.
Yeah, you know, it's been a mixed bag here early on. I pride myself in telling the truth no matter how it goes. And obviously, we post all the results. So this is my 27th year. You know, it's a little bit like dating a supermodel for 25 years. You're okay when you wake up with bad hair one day. So I'm okay losing. Now and then, I will tell you, we were on the wrong side of the backdoor cover with Cincinnati, the 70-yard run with Carolina. And the first couple of weeks, we didn't have a lot of plays because we're just easing into it. This week, we will have 10 to 15 plays. We already had Las Vegas. We have side and total going tonight. The good news is that we're undefeated this week. We're 5-0 in the NBA and football combined. And the bases have added another 10-2, and that's free. Nobody pays for baseball packages at all. They're just added on, and we're 10-2 and actually have Baltimore plus a run and a half going right now. So things are looking very, very good for this weekend. I'm ready to get a full slate. Of course, we have SEC coming in, so a lot of different reasons to get signed up. I didn't even mention the UFC that's on a 27-6 run, including 5-1 last Saturday. So really, really good profit going out there as well. So very excited about the weekend and getting a few more college teams. And I love this week's NFL card.
My headphones are hot hearing all those winners coming out of your mouth right now. So you mentioned the Raiders. They are on the road once again. You talked about them 2 weeks ago as a team that doesn't travel very well. How do you like them against Cam and the Pats?
Yeah, you know, the Patriots are tough to figure because all of the trends that we would look at are Brady trends. So you're not getting, you know, you're getting the same coaches, but you're getting a totally different team. For instance, New England after a loss, you know, they don't lose very much, but when they do, they're 18-7-1 against the spread since 2013. So they typically come back and cover about 65% of the time. Vegas and noon starts, you talk about the travel with the West going east. And like I said, we had Las Vegas on Monday, so it's not like I don't like Vegas. I mean, I love Vegas. I like the team, but I don't like it when they travel. They are 7-24 straight up when they start on the 1 o'clock Eastern game. So when they travel east, it's not an evening game for whatever reason. They typically lay an egg. So, and Gruden basically alluded to that when talking about Monday night. He does not like evening games or first thing in the morning. He likes patterns, and when they get out of that, they struggle a little bit. So I actually like New England in the spot. Five of the last six Las Vegas road games have gone under the total as well. So they typically don't score a lot of points on the road. And so that leads me to like New England even more. I'll take them minus the points on Sunday.
Talking football with the Fat Jack, go to fatjacksports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at the Fat Jack. Also call 800-298-1383 for the latest picks. Jack, what game that really has my interest is a matchup between two 2-0 teams. The Rams travel to Buffalo to face the Bills. I'm not quite sure. Like, I know that the Rams are a good team, but I don't quite know how to feel out the Buffalo Bills to this point in the season. How should I play this?
Yeah, I don't think anybody does. Buffalo, we're going to find out a lot more here. I mean, they have not started with that strong of a schedule. And you do worry a little bit like the Rams travel schedule. I mean, they're west, they go east, now they're back, now they're going to play Buffalo. So they're getting their frequent flyer miles. And this is a Rams team that typically plays pretty well on the road. The good thing about signing up for my service, everybody gets exactly the same picks. These are the exact games that I'm going to play. So, and I actually like the Rams here. Seven of the last eight have gone over in the series, so they typically score points in this thing. I don't think Buffalo can afford to get any type of shootout. I like that the Rams offense in that environment. Also, the Rams 9-2 against the spread, their last nine road games. So they typically, when they travel, as I said, they not only they at least cover, and a lot of times they win because they're not getting a ton of points on the road. So this one inside a field goal. I actually like the Rams here. I think Buffalo's a little bit fraud. I think we're going to see a couple of teams this week that are a little bit of a fraud, and the lines are kind of leading us that way. The Rams, I guess you can make a case because they have gotten it done a couple of times, but explain to me why the Detroit Lions are only a 5-point favorite at Arizona, or a 5-point underdog at Arizona. Arizona has looked great. I think Kyler Murray is incredibly athletic, but he looks like a fourth-grade flag football quarterback as he runs around back there. He does throw it real well. He's very athletic. But Detroit, only a 5-point underdog. That's one of those games. We saw that last week, the Giants in your neck of the woods. I like the Giants plus the points. They end up covering without Barkley. Who likes the Giants then? You know, the NFL is full of these games every week that you have teams that don't look like on paper they should even be on the same field. They figure out a way to at least cover. I think that's what you're getting here in Detroit, having to travel west. I actually like them to cover the 5.5 at Arizona.
A team that has just had a brutal schedule so far is the Houston Texans. It doesn't get any easier as they head to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. I mean, they faced a tough defense in the Ravens, and now they're going to face another great defense, if not the best defense in the NFL, in the Steelers. I feel like 4 points is a gift for the Steelers.
Yeah, who did they piss off at the scheduling office? I mean, I know they won the division. My gosh, this is brutal coming out. And it's not like they're playing teams that are just a lot better than they were supposed to be. The teams they played were supposed to be great. I've talked about this a lot. I don't like Houston's coach at all. But when you talk about gifts, I mean, we just talked about that. Typically in the NFL, when it looks too good to be true, it probably is. There's a reason why this number is only 3.5 or 4. And I think it's because Houston is battle-tested. Pittsburgh didn't cover last week. I mean, they won, but they didn't cover. They're still kind of feeling out their offensive identity. Haven't been – oh, and this is a step down from what Houston has faced. So I think this is a good spot to get them. Like I said, I'm not saying they win, but this thing could go right. As long as it's over a field goal, it could definitely stay right around the number. 4-2 in the series have gone under, so 4 of the last 6 have gone under. 8-2 to the under the last 10 Pittsburgh Steelers games. And 4 of the last 6 Houston games on the road have gone under. Everything says this thing's under the 45 points as far as trends go with these two teams get together. And when you go under, you typically look toward the underdog because there's some value there. as you get around those key numbers. So I actually will lean toward Houston plus the points. And another one of those games I think a lot of the people look at and say, why is this number not more?
Previewing the football weekend with the Fat Jack right here on ESPN 1000 with Chris Black and Am Abdallah. Another team that's 2-0 that I don't quite trust, Jack, are the Tennessee Titans. They're on the road against the Vikings, and the Vikings might be one of the worst teams in the NFL through two games. But we all thought they'd be a lot better. How should we play this game?
I mean, I don't know why we would. Kirk Cousins, I mean, he's a real straight shooter, right? Everybody loves him. I mean, is he not one of those guys that, I mean, he's one of the last guys in the NFL I want to spend 5 minutes with. I mean, right. Then he came out and said COVID really doesn't exist. And the problem with these type of guys, when they're winning and things are going well, you like them. You tolerate them. You know, it's like having a CPA that tells you a bunch of bad news, but you don't pay as much in taxes. I mean, you're okay with it at the end of the day. When they start losing, you're like, the tolerance level goes way down. Also, one of those teams that really is a negative, they don't have fans. Minnesota, those Viking fans, listen, there's nothing more intimidating than a 300-pound woman in purple overalls screaming and yelling at you, and then they're playing that Viking thing. I mean, that's what you're getting up there, by the way. Exactly. That and the Tennessee Volunteers, they need to really look at their color scheme if they're going to be wearing overalls. But so I actually like Tennessee here. I think that Minnesota's a runaway train the wrong direction. I won't play this game, but if you make me play it, I go ahead and like them. And I'll tell you, Minnesota's defense not off to a good start, giving up 35 points a game, 438 yards, and they're missing 9 starters off last year's team. So that defense is not prepared to stop the running attack of Tennessee. I lean toward them minus the points.
The most important game for us here in Chicago, obviously the Bears and the Falcons. The Bears head down to Atlanta. Everyone on that offense and defense, it seems like everyone for the Falcons is injured right now. Are the Bears catching a break, and is 3 a good price to get them?
Well, that's the whole thing. Why is that number 3? Atlanta, you know, last week, a team that scores 39 points in since they've been keeping records, if you score 39 points and commit no turnovers, you are a combined 441 since they've been keeping it. That one loss, the Atlanta Falcons last week, who apparently they don't teach the rules in onside when they're in special teams meetings, because we had Atlanta plus the 4.5, so it was okay with me. I didn't really care who won, but them giving that game away was absolute gift for the Dallas Cowboys. The Bears going on the road, I mean, again, Vegas has television sets. They get injury reports. They know everything that's going on with these teams from an injury perspective. So the reason the number is this low is, again, because we have two teams that predominantly don't score a lot of points when they play each other. 9 of the last 10 in the series have gone under. 5-0 in the series when they're at Atlanta have gone under. So the fewer points you get, you're going to look at the underdog to being in the game the entire time. I don't know where Atlanta's head is after last week. As you said, they have a ton of injuries, so I would steer clear of this one altogether.
Jack, before we let you go, it's week 4 in college football. Is there anything we should keep our eyes on heading into Saturday?
Yeah, stay away from the SEC. Give them a week or so. We're going to make a ton of money in college football, but out of the gate, you don't want to jump on teams. You don't know how their practice sessions have gone. You really don't know what COVID has done to those practice sessions. The teams will come out really flat and get blown out. Sometimes favorites will do that, so you got to be careful there. Look for teams like Iowa State that had a really rough start to the season, given 2.5 points on the road at TCU. TCU is not the same TCU from a few years ago. They do not have an athletic offense. Their skill players and offense are not very good. That defense is not typically a Patterson-type defense. Play Iowa State in that game. I also like Georgia Tech going on the road. They're going to Syracuse. That game probably goes over the total as well. Georgia Tech, quietly a pretty good offensive team. They've got all those option players that they recruited with under the old coaching staff in better positions, and they're really a functioning offense right now. So if you want the winners, though, get signed up. We're going to have a huge weekend. It's only $99 for everything through Monday, or $149 football and basketball. If you go through Halloween, it's less than $100 a week. I will be in Chicago next weekend betting my games across the river over in Indiana. My son was just named to the All-State Good Hands team, one of the 22 top college players in the country. And he goes to the University of Chicago, plays football there. So along with Trevor Lawrence and Edinger, all those guys, my son was one of those 22 guys. So I'll be up there in Chicago also. If you want to make money betting these games, get signed up at FatJackSports.com. What you see is what you get. Everybody gets the same picks. Text your cell phone or email to you, and they will win you money and add some discipline to your sports gambling.
Jack, when you get to Chicago, where's your first stop for food?
You know, I'm a Portillo's guy because I typically get in late and they're open really late. Other than that, I hit Joe's a lot downtown.
Oh, yeah, Joe's good,
Stonecraft. Yeah, they have two of those. That's owned by the Good Eats people. They're not the Miami people. They sold it to the one in Vegas, the one in Chicago. So I hit that a lot. Capitol Grill, they have a great seafood tower, Terrasome. So, and then when I'm out in Hyde Park, I hit Valois. I go to Valois, which is was a famous Barack Obama place. He ate there a lot, and it's right by the university and the cafeteria. Good home cooking there. So spent a lot of time in Chicago. Love the people of Chicago, and I want them to win betting the game. So go get signed up, and we'll get after them this weekend.
Absolutely. Good luck with the games this weekend, Jack. We'll talk to you next Thursday at 7:15.
All right, guys. Have a good week. See you soon.
That's the Fat Jack. Go to his website, fatjacksports.com, or call 800-298-1383. Or you can follow him on Twitter, at the Fat Jack. Need help betting the games against the spread, the NFL, college football, NBA, MLB, and UFC? Every result tracked and verified, daily, weekly, monthly, and season packages are all available, fatjacksports.com. Black and Abdallah will be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Abdallah, I've got a question for you, my friend.
What up?
Can you fire your manager 3 games before the end of the regular season so you have a new manager in time for the playoffs next week in baseball? Dude, is that possible?
What the hell is Ricky Renteria doing? Not only did he cost me money, but you bring in a dude that hasn't pitched in 7 weeks into a bases loaded situation. Like what are you doing? I'm so mad. And you leave Cordero in too long. What? Oh, it's so frustrating.
The Indians are now up 5-4 in the top of the eighth. Carlos Rodon was the inserted pitcher who hasn't pitched in weeks into the game and thus gives up the double to Ramirez, who has been on fire. The Indians now lead 5-4 in a game that the White Sox in the seventh were leading 4-1. I don't know. As a White Sox fan, watching this team implode here in the final week of the season, I'm just asking for a friend. Can you find out for me? Can you remove the manager and just bring in somebody new for the postseason? Is that possible?
Do they have a computer like the Cubs do? Do they have an Ivy? Do they have like an empty beer can that they call it or something like that? Like, is there like a computer they can use that can just give him the best matchup so he doesn't actually have to make these decisions?
I'm not even joking. Why not just put Steve Stone down there? What's the worst that could hurt? Have Benetti and Stone be the manager
down there
in the booth.
What does he need to be down there for? He can do it from the booth.
That's what I'm saying. Have Benetti and Stone manage the team from the booth. Why not? What's the worst that could happen? It could be worse than what's going on right now.
It's astonishing, and you worry if you're a White Sox fan. Listen, Sox Dalla is worried about his moves in the postseason because with a wild card series that'll cost you a series.
Will Chase wants you to know that hockey teams have done that. They fired the manager, the head coach, and they bring in someone else for the postseason.
Well, I mean, look, you do whatever's good for the organization at the time, and if the time dictates that it's good for the organization, that's what you do there, Chris, okay?
Was that your hockey voice?
Yeah, it's for the organization.
I mean, the best part is if you're watching the show on Twitch tonight, ESPN 1000 Chicago, you're seeing the producer cam, Tyler Aki's in the studio. The Twitch chat is just going off on Ricky Renteria. It has just been going off on him this entire evening.
As is White Sox Twitter. White Sox Twitter is pissed, as they should be. I'm not saying you needed this game. This would have been a good game to have leading into the series against the White Sox, where you're definitely not pitching your best pitchers because you're getting them set up for a playoff run. And it's mind-boggling, the moves that he makes that continue to just ruin this team.
I almost feel like we should do a wellness check on Jonathan Hood and just find out if everything's okay. Because I don't think things are going to be going okay with them tomorrow with Cap in the morning, 7 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 1000.
Who's going to try to talk first? Is Cap going to express his Cubs angst, or who's going to have the rant? Are you going to have dueling? Is the rant music?
Like, and I know we don't have time on the show. We don't have time on the show tonight. We're jam packed here before 8 o'clock. But I almost feel like we need like a one sentence answer from Jonathan Hood on whether or not things are going okay with the White Sox.
I mean, I've seen on his Twitter that he's frustrated, so I know he's upset. I'm sure he hasn't thrown any Crown Royal around, because you wouldn't want to. Here's Hood's tweet right here. Here it is. He just tweeted. Maybe he's listening. Stone and Benetti are subtly ripping Renteria right now. I'm with them. He's over his head. The Sox lack of offense at times doesn't help. He's pitching decisions, making it amateur hour. Enough of this nonsense. Dude, this is why.
I'm telling you, Stone and Benetti for manager. That I think that's what we need for the playoffs.
But this
I think we need to insert him.
Look, I heard a lot of Waddle and Sylvie today. And Sylvie,
is that what you were doing today? Talking, just sitting at home listening to the show?
Just what were you doing?
Yeah, I had errands to run.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did those in the morning, and then I came home and I listened to the quality program that is Waddle and Sylvie.
Oh, okay.
And,
all right.
And Sylvie was talking about how this is not fool's gold, but this is unexpected. This is the year that the Cubs, and we've always compared it to the year before the Cubs won the World Series. Like you're playing with house money right now. And that's been the expectation the entire season. Well, listen, expectations change. That's, to me, that's a defeatist attitude that you can't have. Because when you've got a team that's leading the league at one point in every offensive category, that has two of the best pitchers in baseball going, that you're getting quality outings from Dane Dunning and Dylan Cease before their last outings, that the expectations can change overnight. The expectations in a short season, when you're one of the best teams in Major League Baseball, can change. And it can become the expectation. We polled White Sox fans. The expectation went from this cute, scrappy team that's going to be fun to watch and hit a bunch of home runs, that is eventually going to be good, and maybe this year they win a playoff round, and then we'll see what happens next year, has turned into this team better damn well make the ALCS, because this is a once in a – you see it with the Cubs. This is a once in – not once in a lifetime, but you don't get this window of opportunity very often. And if you can take advantage of it, you need to. And it's going to be Renteria that cost them a playoff series. And that's why – he was an A to B guy with the Cubs, and it seems like right now he's going to be an A to B guy with the White Sox. Because when you have this kind of talent and it's all clicking at the same time and you have a chance to win a World Series, you have to take advantage of it, and you have to change your expectations if you're a White Sox fan and expect more out of this team this season.
Good question. Next.
Break. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing tonight's show. Download the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Search for Black and Abdallah or The Baseball Show right there, wherever you can find your podcast. We have good question coming up in just a minute. But Abdallah, we need to get a wellness check on Jonathan Hood from Cap and J Hood. Morning, 7 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000, your new morning show here on ESPN 1000. Jonathan Hood, your thoughts on the White Sox tonight.
Oh, Jonathan!
This sucks. Let me tell you something. When you have Steve Stone and Jason Benetti ripping Renteria openly on the broadcast, wondering why Big Cat, a.k.a. Nick Riedel, a.k.a. Carlos Rodon, on the mound, when you have him on the mound, he has not been in a relief appearance forever, and you put him in that spot, I mean, what's he supposed to do? He's a starter, and you're making him a reliever, and he gives up the lead. This Renteria is so bad. I'm just telling you right now, similar to the Cubs in 2015 when they saw Renteria manager, like, no, We can do better. We're going to upgrade and get in Joe Maddon. Well, Tom's got to find his Joe Maddon. You cannot move forward with this guy as the manager of this baseball team. It's one thing for the players to underachieve, right? It's one thing for the pitchers not to get the ball to the plate. The point is, like, you got to upgrade that spot. He cannot be the manager of this ball club in 2021. It's as simple as that. Like, he was there for the losing. He's there for the rebuild. Now you got to cut him loose. I mean, this is prime evidence on how this guy cannot handle a bullpen, cannot handle a pitching staff. Brutal.
All right, 7:02 tomorrow morning. You're going to get the Sox rant in before Cap starts yelling about the Cubs, right?
Well, you know, it's a battle, but I got it. I'll definitely give my thoughts in. But it's so disappointing to see this, and it's like I could be watching a movie. I could be watching a movie between 7 and 10 instead of watching this nonsense. So it's so ridiculous. I'd rather watch Gardner Minshew. I think I'm going to do that. So
good luck. He's already down 14. So. Yeah.
I was talking about UAB in Alabama, the college football game.
It's more entertaining to see the White Sox get their ass whooped. I'd rather watch that on the downside of a bad NFL game than watch this nonsense every night. All right, now it's time for a good question.
Thank you, and that's Jonathan Hood. You'll hear him tomorrow with David Kaplan, Cap and Jay Hood, 7 to 10, every weekday morning right here on ESPN 1000. Each week, Abdallah, we like to play back the best questions of the week. It's our segment called Good Question, and this is how it works. When a host on ESPN 1000 asks a question and a guest on the phone responds with good or great question, they score a point. Here in 2020, what does our leaderboard look like today?
Tom Waddle is currently in the lead with 35. Jonathan Hood, who we just spoke to, has 30. And Cap, his co-host, has 28.
All right.
You want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38. I got a question
for you. Can I get it in? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's the question that drives us near. It's the question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
Here is this week's edition of Good Question.
Okay, so more Bears points or Cubs runs?
I like it this weekend.
It's a great question. Yeah, put that down.
That's what you were trying to do. You were just trying to get a great question out of him.
I guess, Pete, if I'm an Irish fan, I'm concerned about the defense.
You've got
Kareem, Okwara, as well as Jones. Those proven pass rushers are gone. That was a lot of production there with their 14 sacks combined. So what did they do to try to replace that production defensively on the line?
No, it's a good question.
What does a full David
Brian Hanley
participation look like in terms of numbers?
What's up, Brian?
How confident are they in their offensive line and the running game as they go into this season?
Brian, I'm not saying that it's going to work. However, they recognize that what you saw last year from a run game perspective was unacceptable. They realized that. And you know Matt Nagy is always guys – has its eye on what's taking place in Kansas City. Now, you're going to tell me that watching that game on Thursday night where Edwards-Helaire just, buried the Texans, kept them so off balance, they ran the ball so well, so effective, so creative, you're going to tell me that that did not in any way resonate with Matt Nagy? That's what he would like.
I mean, come on already while we're young.
Now, Brian, your question is great.
15 is a game. Is that sustainable?
Should we expect the offense
to continue to be built around Cam running the football going forward?
Greeny, great question.
Here we go. Corey in Wicker Park, you are on with the great Chuck Garfine.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Wait a minute.
Call.
Yes, sir.
It's a little windy. I'm outside walking, but wanted to talk about the starter playoff round. I know that they've got Cease and Dunning coming up this weekend against Cincinnati. It'll be great, but I'm not sure who said it last night on the Late Show, whether it was Black or Abdullah, but one of them mentioned that it was going to be a runaway with Cunning.
Close.
We'd just love to hear thoughts on
one point each.
Thanks, guys.
One point.
That was my question.
No, was it
on the show?
He didn't know.
What was the question? Who's going to be the number three starter?
Yes.
You know, so that's a great question.
Last thing before we let you go, Mike. What's the one storyline that you look at through 2 weeks and you've been pleasantly surprised about and interested in following throughout this season? What's something that sticks out to you through 2 weeks of this NFL season?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Any chance the Sox kind of exhale Chuck being an inexperienced team with regard to getting to the postseason? I know they added Grandal and Encarnacion and others who have postseason experience, but any chance that you felt like there was a minor letdown?
Hey, Waddle, this is why you're good. Not only as a radio host, but as a former player. That is a good question.
We know usually what's on the line for winning a division. I mean, you avoid the wild card round. Usually, every team now is in the wild card round. And home field advantage isn't what it used to be. So what's in it for the Sox to win the division?
And that's a great question.
There you go, Abdallah. How about that? Back-to-back points from your boy.
Yeah, no.
Take that.
No, he didn't know who said it, so we both get the point.
Okay,
that's how
and then
it works.
I got the next point, so I followed
Yeah, you up. Got the next point. Yeah. We're both tied at 8. You and I are tied at 8. But we're miles behind Waddle, who has 36, and Jonathan Hood, who has 31.
We will talk to you tomorrow night at 6 for the baseball show. It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000.